Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We are a two-man car. My name is Ruben Nava, my partner Jesse Romero. Together we make up Jesus 911. We have a special guest this morning, Jesse. Good morning. You want to introduce our special guest?
Absolutely. We got Hugh Owen, and I've been filching material from this man's organization for many years. This guy's an expert when it comes to the issue of, you know, the Catholic Church's position on creation versus evolution, and all the questions regarding, you know, all the questions that atheists typically ask. And I'm looking at Hugh's curriculum vitae here. Very impressive. Princeton University, New York University. But more than anything, more than his impressive bio, I don't know how many books he's written. In fact, Hugh, welcome to Jesus 911. Welcome, my brother.
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
Let me ask you, how many books have you written? Instead of counting your bio, how many books have you written?
I can't remember. that's the truth. I tried to write whatever Jesus wants me to write and forget about it.
And this guy's a great family man. Here it is. 9 children, 16 grandchildren, member of the Transfiguration Melkite Greek Catholic Church, member of the St. John Paul II Academy for Human Life and Family. Well, that's a whole topic in itself. But let's just get right into it, because I'll tell you, Hugh, this is the area where we lose a lot of young Catholics in high school and in college. The secular humanists, they start preying on the fact that our young people, they're not intellectually formed well at that point still. And so they have what I would call bullies that are called teachers and professors that are committed atheists and secular humanists and naturalists. And they just pound into their little brains the fact that there is no God, the Bible's full of errors, Jesus, it's a myth. In fact, this is such a big problem that even in the New Catechism, it says under the first commandment that the biggest problem that we face in the third millennium is atheism. So your institute, the Kolbe Center, you guys are scratching people where we itch, the Kolbe Center for the Study of Creation. You've been the director there from the year 2000 to the very present. So let's jump right into it. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Hugh, and the Kolbe Center, something that I may have missed?
Certainly. So really, to understand how our Lord and the Blessed Virgin Mary called me to this work, you need to know something about my life. My father was the son of a Baptist minister in Wales, and brought up in a conservative Christian home. But when he went to university back in the 20s, already the universities in England were completely dominated by secular humanists. Wow. So he was indoctrinated into secular humanism, naturalism, evolutionism, completely lost his faith in Christianity, became a secular humanist, went to work for the United Nations at the very beginning, became an assistant secretary general, co-administrator of United Nations Development Program, was convinced that human beings, through their own efforts, would be able to solve all the problems of the world. Then after 25 years with the United Nations, he was knighted by the Queen of England for his work at the UN, but he retired frustrated because he looked at the world and saw that all the problems of the world were worse than when the United Nations was started. Why was this? Well, once again, he turned to the intelligentsia that he knew, and they had the answer. They said, the reason we're not making headway in solving the world's problems is we're not going to the root of all the world's problems, overpopulation. That's why we have economic and social injustice, pollution, and all these problems. We need to cut down on the number of people. Then we'll have enough to go around. All our problems will be solved.
So, this has been going on a long time. Bill Gates' ideology and these globalist ideology, this isn't something new. This has been going on since at least the 20s. That's what I hear you saying.
Absolutely. The devil never sleeps, and he's a long-range planner. He doesn't mind waiting a few hundred years to have his plans come to fruition. We have trouble with that because human beings have trouble thinking beyond one generation, but we're dealing with satanic forces who take a totally different view. The bottom line is, my dad accepted to become the first ever Secretary General of International Planned Parenthood Federation at the very time, 1969, 1970, when IPPF changed its position on abortion, because, you know, their own literature used to say, life begins at conception. Abortion takes the life of a child. That was Planned Parenthood literature saying that. But they decided by the end of the 60s, it's time we need abortion on demand.
Wow.
And my dad was brought in as the perfect figurehead for the organization when they wanted to push for that abortion on demand throughout the world. And he held that position of Secretary General of IPPF for just about a year when he died unexpectedly of a heart attack in London when I was just 16 years old.
Mm.
Now, I had been brought up with no prayer, no Bible, no church, nothing. And when my father died, I became suicidally depressed. All I wanted to do was to take my own life. But I can say that my father's death precipitated my eventual conversion to the Catholic faith, because less than 2 years after my father's death, I was baptized, confirmed, and made my first Holy Communion as a Catholic in the Princeton University Chapel where I was enrolled as a freshman. And what happened there kind of put me on the path that's led me to the Kolbe Center and to this interview today, because the chaplains at Princeton University at that time were Jesuit priests who gave me the Dutch catechism so that I could learn my Catholic faith. Now, anybody in the audience that's familiar with the Dutch catechism will understand why we call it the Dutch cataclysm, because this cataclysm totally destroyed the faith of millions and millions of Catholics, not only in the Netherlands, but wherever this diabolical cataclysm was put into use.
I think that's the first modernist catechism that came out. That's my understanding. It was that one precisely, correct?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. That is correct. It was the flagship for the new type of modernist catechesis
for the Nouvelle Theologia.
Yes,
Nouvelle Theologia. And, yeah.
And the theme that runs through it from beginning to end is that we're in a scientific age, and science has given us these new insights into our faith so we can understand everything better. We can understand everything in a new and better way. And that sounds great. And for somebody like myself who had absolutely no formation in the faith, I accepted it. But by the grace of God, after about 10 years, I had the grace to realize that this idea that science could enlighten us so that we could understand our faith in ways that contradicted the way it had been handed down to us could not possibly be true. Because this Dutch cataclysm, in the name of science and enlightenment, sowed doubt in the mind of the reader about everything from the existence of angels, the existence of Satan, the original sin, the historical reality of Adam and Eve, the virgin birth, the bodily resurrection of our Lord, the intrinsic evil of contraception. Virtually nothing was left untouched by the Dutch cataclysm. And when I was about 30 years old, it really dawned on me that evolution was the key to all these errors, all these challenges that were being raised against the traditional faith of the church. And I began to study from the perspective of theology, philosophy, and natural science, to understand whether there really was any sound basis in any of these areas of knowledge for this idea that molecules turned into human bodies over hundreds of millions of years of the same kinds of material processes that are going on now. And I was delighted to discover that Saint Maximilian Kolbe was one of the giants of the Catholic Church who realized that this molecules to man evolution hypothesis was completely bogus. And at the very time when my dad was being robbed of his faith, mm-hmm. because there was nobody in his environment who could give him the other side of the story, Saint Maximilian was writing articles and sending them all over the world showing that the emperor of evolution was naked, that there wasn't actually any sound evidence for this molecules to man evolution hypothesis. And that's why when we founded the Kolbe Center in the Jubilee year 2000, although our principal patroness is the Immaculate Conception, we named the Kolbe Center after St. Maximilian because he was a theologian, a philosopher, and a natural scientist. And this is what we tried to do with the Kolbe Center, is to provide a forum for Catholic theologians, philosophers, and natural scientists.
Hey, Hugh, we're coming up to our first break, so you want to hold it there. We're going to be coming back right after these short intermissions.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the Church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His Church, to aid and defend her.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception. Pro-Life Across America,
the billboard people. Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. Two-man car. However, we have a ride-along in our squad car today. We're interviewing Hugh Owen, the director of the Kolbe Center for the Study of Creation. And he's got a fascinating story. And Hugh, I understand that you and your colleagues have just produced a 17-part DVD series called Foundations Restored. What's the main thrust of the series, and why did you guys decide to make it?
You know, the last time that the Magisterium, the teaching authority of the Catholic Church, published an authoritative document on the topic of evolution was back in 1950, when Pope Pius XII published the encyclical letter Humani Generis.
Right.
And unfortunately, many of our young people today are told by Catholic intellectuals like Dr. Ken Miller, for example, at Brown University, that with Humani Generis, the Pope and the teaching authority of the Catholic Church allowed Catholics to believe and teach evolution. But that is completely false. If you actually read the encyclical, the Pope actually tells the bishops and theologians of the whole world that they must teach that all of Genesis 1 to 11 is true history, that every word in the Bible is true, not only when it talks about faith and morals, but when it talks about history, geography, natural science, or anything else. The only permission that the Pope gives in Humani Generis in paragraph 36 is permission for Catholic experts to examine the evidence for and against the evolutionary hypothesis. And as any parent knows, or anybody who's ever held any authority, permission to discuss is not the same as approval of what is being discussed. Tragically, since the publication of Humani Generis, virtually all Catholic universities and research centers in the Western world have basically dropped the ball in obeying the exhortation of the Pope to examine the evidence for and against the evolutionary hypothesis. And it's been accepted as almost a foregone conclusion that the evolutionary hypothesis is true. Yeah. So what we did was to assemble an incredible team of theologians, philosophers, and natural scientists with qualifications in every area of natural science to actually obey the mandate of Humani Generis and provide a thorough examination of the evidence for and against the evolutionary hypothesis. It took us 3.5 years, and on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we were finally able to release this 17-part DVD series, which is a thorough, comprehensive examination of the claims of the Molecules to Man evolution hypothesis, both in its theistic and atheistic versions, and it thoroughly refutes those claims and provides a comprehensive defense of the traditional teaching of the Church on creation that was taught by all the apostles, fathers, doctors, popes, and council fathers in their authoritative teaching. So it's a marvelous resource, and if you go to the website for the DVD series, www.foundationsrestored.com, you'll see many wonderful recommendations from bishops, theologians, natural scientists. We just got a wonderful recommendation from Father Robert Baker, SJ, the former editor of Homiletic and Pastoral Review. But you find many fantastic recommendations on there. And this DVD series will protect the faith of your high school student, your university student, so they will not become one of the millions of Catholic young people who are going to join the mass exodus out of the Catholic Church because they were not given the equipment, they were not equipped to understand how to defend their faith against the claims of this evolutionary hypothesis.
Let me jump in and ask a question. You probably enjoyed the movies. I know I did. God Is Not Dead 1, God Is Not Dead 2, and the other one that was called
Yes.
What's it called? Expelled?
Yes, Expelled. No Intelligence Allowed. Ben Stein.
I thought those were very good. I've had all the young adults in my life, my kids, nephews, nieces, godchildren. I have them watch those movies, just for being a movie, they equip them fairly strong. But boy, oh boy, now we got a better resource with your DVD series. Let me ask you a question. There's many Catholic intellectuals that they take pride in the fact that Monsignor Lemaître, he was a Catholic priest and he helped to formulate the Big Bang hypothesis. So how do your scientist colleagues in the Foundation's Restored series, how do they evaluate the arguments for the Big Bang cosmology?
Well, we have a whole segment devoted to that topic. And in fact, a prominent Catholic lay leader recently told us that he wants to send the DVD where we examine and then totally refute Big Bang cosmology to every one of 1,500 priests on his mailing list.
Wow.
And so I couldn't possibly go into all the detail in this interview, but let me just mention a couple of the fatal flaws in this Big Bang cosmology. The first thing that is very important for everybody to understand is that we have a revelation from God about what he did when there were no other witnesses except for the holy angels. And God has told us what he did in a very clear way because he's a loving father. And just as anybody who's a dad explains important things to his children in ways that they can understand, our Heavenly Father is the perfect exemplar of that. So from the very beginning of the church, everybody, and I mean every apostle, every father, every doctor, every pope, understood and taught that the whole work of creation was supernatural. He spoke and it was made. He commanded and it was created. And that was true from the beginning to the end when God created Adam, body and soul, and then created Eve from Adam's side. But what's equally important to understand is that God also revealed that when he finished creating Adam and Eve, one man for one woman for life from the beginning of creation, he was done. He stopped creating new kinds of creatures. And that's what the Sabbath rest of the Lord is all about. And therefore, only after God had finished creating all the different kinds of creatures for us, only then did the natural order begin, what many doctors of the church call the order of providence. And that's what we are living in today. We're living in the natural order of things, which began after the work of creation was finished. Why is this so important? Well, this is so important because what this means is we cannot study the order of nature that we are living in now, and from that, extrapolate back to the very beginning to explain how everything came to be. All the fathers, all the doctors of the church, St. Thomas Aquinas, they understood this very well. But what we show in the DVD series is that beginning with René Descartes and Immanuel Kant and Spinoza, the so-called Enlightenment thinkers of the 17th century, they introduced a new idea, which was that it's more reasonable to explain the origins of things in the universe, like stars or plants or animals or even the human body, in terms of the same natural processes that are going on now. And this is the fundamental error that gradually took over the intellectual elite of the Western world. So that by the beginning of the 20th century, already a huge number of Catholic intellectuals had gone over to this new way of thinking. And so they had actually come to embrace the error of René Descartes and the Enlightenment thinkers, which had been completely condemned by the church authorities back in the 17th century, that we can study what's going on in nature now, and from that figure out how everything happened in the beginning, how everything came to be. When in reality, that is completely false, because you cannot study the natural order of things and explain from that a supernatural creation. It would be like taking the wine, the miraculous wine of Cana, and putting it through all kinds of chemical tests and trying to determine the history of that wine. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter what kind of technology you have. You're never going to figure out the true history of the wine at Cana unless you do one thing and one thing only, and that is believe the testimony of the witness appointed by God, in this case, St. John the Evangelist, as to what was the true origin of that miraculous wine. That's the only way you or I or anybody in the world is ever going to know the true history of the wine at Cana. And the fathers noted that there were 6 containers of wine at the wedding at Cana when Jesus did his first sign. Why? Because he wanted to make perfectly clear, especially to us, that the same divine power by which in an instant he changed 6 containers of ordinary water into the most wonderful wine that anybody had ever tasted was the same divine power by which he created the heavens and the earth and the seas and all they contain in the 6 days of creation in the beginning. So,
Reuben, I know you're chomping at the bit to say something. Reuben.
No, I was just thinking that because I remember John Paul II, he gave a speech to the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, on evolution. And, one of the things he said was that he says, today, almost half a century after the publication of Encyclica Humanae Generis, new knowledge has led to the recognition that the theory of evolution is no longer a mere hypothesis. Now, I think that word mere is problematic, but how would you explain that to people who would say, well, see, your own Pope, he's a saint, has said this.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. We'll pick that up on the other side of the break, Hugh. We're coming up to our second break. So hold that thought, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Jesus 911 with our special guest, Hugh Owen, a tremendous intellectual from the Colby Center. Be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, where iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. We are interviewing a special guest, Hugh Owen. And on the other side of the break, I asked him a question about Pope St. John Paul II II, who spoke at the Pontifical Academy of Sciences. And he one of his quotes is new knowledge has led to the recognition that the theory of evolution is no longer a mere hypothesis. And so, you know, some of our atheistic friends will say, hey, well, see, look at your own Pope. He's a saint. You know, he's saying this. So how would we refute that, Hugh?
Certainly. Let me answer your question and the previous one together.
Okay.
Because the answers will go together very well. And I apologize for taking so long
with
the first answer. But that background that I gave is very, very important to understand the answer to both of these questions. Because just to sum it up very briefly, before the Enlightenment, all Christian thinkers agreed that the whole work of creation was supernatural, and the natural order only began when the whole work of creation was finished. Therefore, natural scientists can study the natural order. They can understand how things work in nature, but they can't possibly figure out how things came to be in the beginning by studying what's going on now. After the Enlightenment, the church, the Catholic Church, holds fast to the traditional teaching, but more and more intellectuals in the Christian world go over to the Enlightenment philosophy and believe, okay, we can study nature, and from what's going on here and now, we can explain how everything came to be in the past. This is directly related to Monsignor Lemaître, because his whole bogus Big Bang cosmology is based on the error that by studying what is going on in the universe now, we can extrapolate back all the way to the beginning and explain how everything came to be. And this is a hypothesis that everything in the universe began in this one tiny little quantum, which expanded and eventually produced all of the stars and the galaxies and the solar system and everything that we see. In our DVD series, we take all of the evidence that's been put forward as supposedly confirming this Big Bang hypothesis and show that it doesn't actually confirm the hypothesis at all. But this is related to the statement of Pope St. John Paul II to the Pontifical Academy of Sciences and other statements that he made, where he said that there seemed to be a lot of evidence in support of some kind of microbe or molecules to man evolution up to when God put a human soul into the human body. So let me explain why these statements of Pope St. John Paul II and other recent popes who made similar statements do not in any way, shape, or form call into question the traditional teaching of the church that was handed down to us. Number one, every single statement by Pope St. John Paul II or any recent pope favorable to molecules to man evolution has been made of it as a hypothesis in natural science. Now, as our listening audience knows, when papal infallibility was defined at the First Vatican Council, it was defined very precisely. And the Council Fathers defined that this gift of infallibility was not given to the Pope to define any new doctrine, but only to define a doctrine of faith or morals that is contained in the deposit of faith that was handed down from the apostles. Why is this important? Because no statement of Pope St. John Paul II or any recent pope favorable to the Big Bang cosmology or the evolutionary hypothesis in general was ever made except of it as a hypothesis in natural science. And a pope does not have any kind of charism of infallibility when he gives opinions about hypotheses in natural science. For example, Pope Francis believes that human activity causes global warming. That's a hypothesis in the realm of natural science. Of course, we should listen to the opinions of the Holy Father with respect, but we are not obliged to assent to opinions of the Pope with regard to hypotheses in natural science if we look at the evidence and we see that the evidence and the testimony of a broad range of experts do not actually support that hypothesis. Number two, and this is much more important, when you look at the statements of Pope St. John Paul II on matters of faith and morals, he actually makes very important statements, which if we are obedient to them, would lead inevitably to the complete rejection of molecules to man evolution. Specifically, in Fides et Ratio, one of Pope St. John Paul II's most important documents, he repeats the exhortation of Pope Pius XII in Humani Generis that the bishops and theologians must draw or use the metaphysical principles of traditional Catholic philosophy when they examine any idea. And Pope Pius XII is speaking specifically of evolution. Why is this so important? Well, it so happens that Father Chad Ripperger, one of our finest theologians and philosophers in the world today, actually obeyed Pope Pius XII and Pope St. John Paul II and wrote an entire book, Evolution and Metaphysics and Evolution, where he obeys Pope St. John Paul II and he takes the metaphysical principles of traditional Catholic philosophy and applies them to the evolutionary hypothesis and proves that evolution cannot pass the test. Now, I don't have time to summarize the whole book. Let me just give you one example, because Pope St. John Paul II and Pope Pius XII tell us that if any system of thought, any hypothesis violates even one of these metaphysical principles, it's bogus, because these are principles of reason, and any system of thought that doesn't abide by these principles cannot possibly be true. So here's the example I'm going to use. Father Ripperger takes the principle from traditional Catholic philosophy, no effect is greater than its cause. This is just common sense. If I have a balanced scale and I have a 5-pound weight on one side and I put 10 pounds of bananas on the other side, it's not going to balance. Because if it did, the effect, which is putting a 5-pound weight opposite 10 pounds, is going to be greater if it balances than the cause, which is impossible. Now, what does this have to do with evolution? Everything. Because as Father Ripperger shows, from beginning to end, the molecules to man evolutionary hypothesis requires that the effect is greater than the cause. Think about it. You start out with nothing and you get something. The effect is greater than the cause. Then you have some molecules which turn into something that's alive, into a living cell. The effect is way, way greater than the cause. Then you have a one-celled organism that has to turn into a multi-celled. We've never seen it, we never will, but according to evolution, it had to have happened many, many times. And again, the effect is greater than the cause. Then the multi-celled that can't swim has to produce the swimmer. The swimmer that can't walk on the land has to produce the walker. the walker that can't fly has to produce the flyer, and on until we get to the human being. Now, what do the evolutionists say when they're confronted with Father Ripperger's devastating argument? Well, the Catholics are going to say something like this. Well, of course, we're not like Richard Dawkins. We know that the reptile didn't turn into the bird all by itself. God had to provide the energy or the I don't know what to make that change happen. But do you see what they've done?
Mm-hmm.
The minute you have to invoke God to save your hypothesis, you're not dealing with science anymore. You're dealing with religion.
Yeah.
And what the Catholic intellectuals who embrace evolution have done is they have made God the savior of a bankrupt hypothesis. Now, why did Pope St. John Paul II go along with this? Because 100% of the scientists in the Pontifical Academy of Sciences believe in evolution, and they did not give him a balanced view of the question. And my friends, we need to understand this is a serious matter, because the same Pontifical Academy of Sciences supports limiting family size to 2 children, supports genetically modified food as a solution to hunger in agriculture, supports brain death as the criterion for human death. Mm. These people are not providing advice to the Holy Fathers that is consistent with authentic Catholic doctrine.
Yes.
You know what I hear you saying, and I agree, I've believed this for a long time, is that the theory of evolution, Darwinian evolution, this molecules to man, this is the gospel of the devil. I know that's strong language, but I believe that for a very long time, or at the very least, it's the opium for the intellectuals.
Yes.
And this is, to me, this is the clearest example of the modernist attack that we were warned of by, was it Pope Pius IX or 10th?
Pope St. Pius X, yes.
But yeah, St. Pius X. It's the most clearest form of modernist attack upon the Catholic Church, because it's going right to the foundations of Catholicism. So if you can pull the carpet out from the Adam and Eve story, the Genesis chapter 1 to 11, if you can question that or pull the carpet out, everything else falls down like a whole house of cards. And so this, to me, has been done by design. We've got Hugh Owen on the line right now. We're doing an interview on the Kobe Center. We're talking about cosmology, creation, and evolution. This is High Information Hugh. We're going to be right back. Don't change that dial.
Hands on apologetics. You have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-on Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. We're interviewing High Information Hugh Owen from the Colby Center, and he's giving us an earful of information. So,
Ruben, I'm going to get 3 college units after this. I feel I'm owed 3 college units after this interview.
That's right. you know, Hugh, you know, St. Thomas, he had a. You mentioned that, you know, the when God in the book of Genesis, you know, he created man. You know, he created him with a body and a soul, and St. Thomas apparently he taught that the soul was not infused into the body until 40 days after fertilization, and that was in contrast to the fathers of the church, you know, who spoke the language of Aristotle. But this whole everything you're leading to, it's caused us to, I mean, this whole abortion thing where it's not a human life, it's just a blob of cells, all that was, I have to admit, this is all coming, this is, it all comes together here. And the, those pro-abortionists, they've drank the Kool-Aid. So what would you have to say about this evolution has resulted in what we see today in over 60 million abortions,
or is that? Would you say that's a causal effect? This whole bankrupt theory of evolution. Do you think this is what fuels, at least intellectually, the abortion industry? The fact that they have this contempt for human life, is it just a collection of cells and molecules that kind of coincidentally came together from some primordial soup? Does this play into the abortion debate, the eugenicist debate today?
Absolutely. There's absolutely no doubt about it. The molecules to man evolution hypothesis is the foundation of the whole anti-culture of death. Mm. There is no part of the anti-culture of death that does not find justification in the quote-unquote science of evolution. If you show that the molecules to man evolution hypothesis is bogus, that it's actually a mythology, you have destroyed the entire foundation of the anti-culture of death. Then all that they're left with is the raw will to power. I want to take the life of this child, and so I'm going to do it, which is ultimately the reality. But what we have allowed for the last 50, 60 years is we have allowed these people to cloak themselves in the disguise of having a scientific justification for their abominations. And it needs to stop.
Yes.
It needs to stop immediately. And this Foundations Restored DVD series will equip any Catholic from the higher levels of high school, university on up, to totally destroy this bogus evolutionary mythology that is being used as a justification for every single manifestation of the anti-culture of death.
Wow.
Let me give you an example right off the bat.
Yes.
Right now, we have a tremendous receptivity to our mission in Africa, especially in East Africa, and most especially in Uganda. Now, Uganda is a very blessed country because the Catholic faith was brought to Uganda just before modernism began to infect the seminary formation of future priests and bishops in Europe and throughout the Western world. So the wonderful people of Uganda, the Pearl of Africa, received the seed of the Catholic faith pure. And it's no coincidence that when the first missionaries came to Uganda, every misunderstanding about human sexuality and holy marriage was running rampant. You had a traditional society which had a memory of the one God who created the heavens and the earth, which had a memory of when their ancestors were monogamous and practiced a very strict code of sexual morality, but that had all devolved into polygamy, polytheism, human sacrifice. So all of that was going on. Then you had the Muslims who had come in from Zanzibar to do business, and they had brought not only polygamy, but sodomy. Wherever Islam goes, it brings this vice. And the king, the Kabaka of the kingdom, had become an addict of this unnatural vice. Now, in addition to that, you had Protestant missionaries coming from England whose Anglican church was founded by a man who didn't want to follow the teaching of the church on holy marriage. And finally, you had representatives of the German Kaiser already thoroughly imbued with Darwinism at the beginning of the 1880s, who believed that marriage was just a human institution, something that people did to help them to survive. God had absolutely nothing to do with it. And into the midst of all these errors, you had these beautiful priests who taught from the Roman Catechism, the Catechism of the Council of Trent, that God created one man, body and soul, for one woman whom he created from the body of the first man. One man for one woman for life. And that's what they taught to the first converts. So what happened? These converts were willing to lay down their lives for the literal truth of the sacred history of Genesis, and especially for the teaching, one man for one woman for life. They understood any use of sexuality outside of holy marriage between one man for one woman for life is a grave offense against God. You should prefer death to committing one of those sins. And as a result, the holy Uganda martyrs were, most of them, burned alive at a place called Namgongo, which is a suburb of the capital city of Uganda, Kampala. And they died because they would not participate in this homosexual vice, which was being imposed upon them by the Kabaka, who was considered to be the absolute ruler whose word was law. And what do we have today? We now have this Namgongo, the Holy Uganda Martyr Shrine, the greatest place of Catholic pilgrimage in all of sub-Saharan Africa. Every year, more and more pilgrims come to celebrate the feast of these Holy Uganda Martyrs. In recent years, they have had millions of pilgrims, and the whole capital has to be shut down. So where the rest of the world is falling away from the practice of the faith, here we have a place where the faith is becoming more intensely practiced. And why? Because this is a place where men were willing to be burned alive rather than die, rather than deny the literal historical truth of the sacred history of Genesis and the doctrines that flow from that, which is one of which is sexuality is a gift to be used within holy marriage between one man for one woman for life, period. But what do we see in the anti-culture of death? Now we have theologians going all over the world telling us we need to change our teachings on sexuality. Why? Because we've evolved. We've evolved into a new situation. Science has given us a new understanding. We have to change all of our teachings, our canon law on marriage and everything else. Pope St. Pius X saw this coming. In Pascendi, he said, we have the worst heresy in the history of the world in the church This was 1907, modernism, the synthesis of all heresies. But in that same encyclical, he says, evolution is the principal doctrine of the modernists. Because once you accept this bogus molecules to man evolution mythology, then it's easy to believe, well, we're evolving. So the liturgy that was good for our ancestors, the marriage law that was good for our ancestors, the sexual morality that was good for the people who went before, it's no longer adequate because we've evolved into a new situation. And this is what Father James Martin and all the false prophets who are running all over the world, this is what they're constantly teaching. And we have to stop it by going to the root. Too many of us are fighting the symptoms, trying to argue against this error or that error or this abomination or that abomination, but we're not going to the root. If we go to the root and we eradicate the evolutionary roots, we can destroy and eradicate the entire anti-culture of death and build a true civilization of love in a culture of life.
We 100% agree with you, Hugh. How do people get this DVD series? How do people, what's the website? How can people watch some of the trailers? Tell us how you can equip the body of Christ and go right to ground zero.
Sure. Just go to www.foundationsrestored.com. You can watch the first two episodes for free. You can order it streaming, to stream it from the internet, or you can purchase the physical DVDs. Anybody, any priest, religious, seminarian will give it to you for nothing. If you're a layperson and you're in financial difficulties, we'll be glad to give it to you for whatever you can afford. And my friends, please understand there's a direct link between this evolution deception and the wrong way that so many civil and ecclesiastical leaders are dealing with this COVID-19 epidemic. The true doctrine of creation tells us that God created a perfectly beautiful, complete, and harmonious universe for us. It was free not only from death, but from deformity, disease, man-harming natural disasters. When you understand that, you understand that every epidemic is a consequence of sin, of original sin and the subsequent sins of mankind. And therefore, the proper response is to intensify our spiritual life, to repent, to turn back to God, to turn away from sin. This is what St. Charles Borromeo and the great saints did. And it's the true doctrine of creation.
Preach it, Hugh.
Hugh, we're going to have you back. Yeah. We're going to have you back again and again. Ruben, wrap it up, buddy.
Yeah, you've been listening to an interview with Hugh Owen, a director at the Kolbe Center. Amazing information, a high information Catholic. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mashuda. And take heed to what Hugh Owen has just said. You know, flee from sin. Stay true to the church. Stay true to the sacraments and especially the rosary. Wear your brown scapular. We'll be right back.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.